night of 2019. I want us to stand for a moment and just wait on the Lord. Once you've been busy, maybe you're on vacation, maybe you've had a big day at work. But I know the enemy never rests. God never rests. And sometimes we never rest. And I want us to rest in the Lord right at this moment. Just wait upon the Lord for a few moments. And just begin to just fix your mind upon Him. Heavenly Father, we worship You. We praise Your holy name. Refresh us again tonight with Your Holy Spirit. Guard our minds and our thoughts, Lord. Father, we're thankful for all that You've done and are doing for us, Lord. Help us to not look at the waves or the storms. Lord, help us to look upon You, Lord. Let our eyes be fixed upon You. Lord, direct tonight as we pray. Help us to be mature enough tonight, Lord, to be learning and growing enough tonight, Lord, to be led by Your Holy Spirit, so that our prayer meetings, Lord, are under the sovereign direction and rule of Your Holy Spirit. Let us not ramble. Let us not repeat as the heathen do, Lord, over and over. Help us to pray in faith. And Lord, where our faith is weak, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, You never change. Lord, we are weak at times, faithless at times. Other times, Lord, we think we're invincible. Lord, help us to remember always we are dust. You are sovereign. We are sinners saved by grace. And as we open Your word, Lord, wash us with it tonight. And then, Lord, lead us in prayer. Let us pray as heaven desires here in Secret Harbor and in our lives. We pray and ask this now in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Please take a seat. Thank you. Jeremiah, I want to get into Jeremiah 39 tonight as we do an overview of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 39. It's a wonderful book. I think it's a great book for a devotional. I've read Jeremiah as a personal devotional book. I think it's a great book. I think Jeremiah is a wonderful book to see where we are in Australia right this moment. I think the prophecies that Jeremiah, and the way that Jeremiah speaks to Judah, I think Judah reminds me so much of Australia at this moment. And sometimes we feel like Jeremiah, we're right at this moment, roughly tonight in chapter 39, he's been prophesying for around 40 years. And no one's listening. No one's listening. And the nation is falling. Babylon is about to break down. In chapter 39, Jeremiah recorded his eyewitness account of the fall of Jerusalem. You can read it, I think, in the later chapters of 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, but also in the book of Lamentation in great deal. Judah's sin had brought judgment because they refused to repent. It wasn't just, oh, sorry, you know, we blew it a week or so ago. This is over 40 years. This is over time, over and over and over. And Jeremiah is prophesying and they're ignoring him over and over. And remember, Jeremiah is the spokesperson of God. Ezekiel and Daniel are around and alive at this time as well. Their ministry is about to come into full fruition when Daniel is in Babylon and Ezekiel a little bit later. Judah's sin had brought judgment. The Babylonians, siege after siege, and this is the final. And the children of Judah had refused to repent. We read, remember, they were going to live their own way. They refused to turn back to God, and God had promised, look, I want to be your God. Just, will you just turn back? They said, no. So this is not an unfairness. This is not a cruel God. And we'll get to that a little bit more later on. They wouldn't turn to the God of Israel, their God, the God whom Jeremiah was at this time, his very mouthpiece. Chuck Swindoll says of this period, he says of this time of the fall of Judah, it is a mute reminder that sin, in spite of all its allurement, and it's pretty, it's nice for a period, it's exciting, carries with it heavy weights of sorrow, grief, misery, barrenness, and pain. When young people, I see them in church and I know they're about to make a decision that's wrong, or they're doing things and they're living wrong, I know they're going to end up in pain, sorrow. It's a guarantee. Whatsoever a man sows, so shall he reap. Whether you're 14, 16, or 80, it's going to happen. Swindoll goes on to say, it's the other side of the eat, drink, and be merry coin. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. So let's read chapter 39. In the ninth year of Zedekiah, the king of Judah, in the tenth month came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army against Jerusalem, and they besieged it. And in the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, the ninth day of the month, the city was broken up, the walls broke down. Leading up to this time, the city had been full of disease, full of pestilence, and famine. They were starving, dying because of illness. They were under siege for 16 months. And all the princes in the king of Babylon, came in and sat in the middle gate. I won't mention their names, they're too hard to pronounce. With all the residue of the princes of the king of Babylon, verse 4. And it came to pass that when Zedekiah, king of Judah, saw them, and all the men of war, he fled. He took off. Every king for himself. Went forth out of the city by night by the way of the king's garden, by the gate between the two walls, and he went out of the way of the plain. But he only gets 17 to 18 miles away from Jerusalem in Jericho. We drive past Jericho. You see Jericho on the right when we drive down to the Dead Sea. When they had taken him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, to Riblah in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. The king of Babylon killed the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes. Also, the king of Babylon killed all the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains and carried him in prison to Babylon. And the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the house of the people with fire and broke down the walls of Jerusalem. A Jewish archaeologist, Dr. Shiloh, that's his name, found the very location of this very house where they burnt down the king's palace, king's house. And the ashes are there from that period of time. They just built on and on and on. Amazing. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive into Babylon the remnant of the people that remained in the city. Those that fell away that fell to him with the rest of the people that remained. What happened is those who were poor and couldn't travel stayed. They were allowed to stay by the Babylonians in Judah. Now if you go back, I think it's 29, there Jeremiah had said, if you surrender, because judgment was coming, if you surrender to Babylon, you'll be safe. God will look after you. They said, no, we're not going to do that, especially Zedekiah. And so the judgment is coming. But Nebuzaradan, the The captain of the guard, verse 10, left off the poor of the people which had nothing in the land of Judah, gave them vineyards and fields at the same time. Now Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, saying, take him, look well to him, do him no harm, but do unto him even as he shall sound to you. Why? Because Nebuchadnezzar knew Jeremiah had been telling the people for years and years and years, simply surrender, serve the Babylonians, and you'll be safe. So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, sent, and then these other fellows went with him, and all the king of Babylon's princes, verse 14, even they sent, took Jeremiah out of the court of the prison, because Jeremiah had been lowered in a pit up to his belly, no food, no water, just left to die. 30 men are sent there, get him out, rescue him, and they bring him to this fella, Gedaliah, who has been put in charge of Judah as the governor by Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 15, now the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. God's still speaking to his people. While he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, go and speak to Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I will bring my words upon this city for evil and not for good, and they shall be accomplished in that day before thee. But I will deliver you in that day. Now, in our normal chronological English, we just go forward and forward and forward. In Hebrew, what often they'll do is they'll go back. And so this is going back. God speaking to Jeremiah when he's in the pit. He's about to be rescued. We stop, we go back, and now God is telling Jeremiah, when you get rescued, you will be safe in Babylon. No harm, sorry, in Judah. No harm will come to you. Verse 17, but I will deliver you in that day, says the Lord. You shall not be given into the hand of the men of whom thou art afraid. For I will surely deliver you, and you shall not fall by the sword, but your life shall be for a prey unto you, because you have put your trust in me, says the Lord. The great tribulation is coming. The rapture of the church will occur first, and then the great tribulation will begin. The Antichrist will come into the picture. Pastor Israel will get to that in 2 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, they're raptured. The church is raptured. Great tribulation comes. We are told in Christ's seven letters to the seven churches, in the book of to the church of Philadelphia, that we will be, that those who are faithful and true to God's word will not go into the tribulation period. That's why he says in Thessalonians that we are to comfort one another with these words. We can't comfort one another and say, guess what? We're just going to try and make it through 7 years. It ain't going to work that way. God promises you and I that the church will not go in through this judgment period. You'll be kept safe. It says in the church of Philadelphia, you will be taken out. You will be gone before this period begins. You won't enter into it. Now, it's one thing to have God's prophets telling you because of your flagrant pride and sin that God's judgment is coming. Let's read what happens. Chapter 40. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord after that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had let him go from Ramah when he had taken him, being bound in chains among all that were carried away captive of Jerusalem and Judah, which were carried away captive into Babylon. And the captain of the guard took Jeremiah and said unto him, the Lord thy God has pronounced this evil upon this place. This guy is a pagan. He's the governor put in place by Nebuchadnezzar. And he's saying to the people of Judah, the reason why all this has happened is to you is because you have not obeyed the word of the Lord. How often does the world tell the church, look what you've done. Look how wrong you've done. I'll never forget, and it was quite convicting to me, prayer meeting, Wednesday night, two kids riding a little bike set at the front there, wheeling around. We used to have a lot of kids riding around here. They've all grown up, got cars. And Thomas and someone else was there talking to him, and I went out there. And so what's going on? I said, we're about to have a prayer meeting. Shouldn't there be more people there? And then he wrote off. I thought, yeah, pretty right. And here, the captain of the guard is telling Judah, this is done because you have sinned against the Lord. And notice how specific, and have not obeyed his voice. Therefore, this thing is come upon you. You know, I think sometimes in church, we want to protect everyone. Someone comes to church and it's they've had a tough time and everything, and we go, and I remember standing to a man down here, you won't know who it is. He says, I'm going through a difficult time, and this and that and that. And I went, and I was quite surprised the way I said, you're not reading the word and you're not praying, are you? Actually, you're not having much to do with God at all. And he went, he said, in other words, three strikes, and he was out. You see, often, I think the Western church in which we live today thinks we can go about our business. We can just, like Al Capone, we can kill people from Monday through to Saturday. And Al Capone went to church every Sunday. Every Sunday. He was faithfully attending church every Sunday. And he was the biggest crook around. I think that sometimes what we have in the Western church is we find the church going through such turmoil, but it's not turmoil like in China. It's not turmoil like in Egypt, although there's a great move of God in Egypt at the moment. But there's a turmoil in so many people's homes because we have sinned against the Lord. We've not obeyed his voice, and therefore this thing has come upon you. I think, as I said, the wages of sin is death. We reap what we sow. What are we sowing? Galatians, are we sowing to the Spirit or are we sowing to the flesh? Verse 4, now behold, I loose thee this day from the chains which were upon your hand. If it seem good unto you to come with me into Babylon, come, he said to Jeremiah. I will look well unto you, but if it seem ill unto you to come with me into Babylon, you can stay. Behold, all the land is before you, whether it seems good, convenient for you to go. You can go wherever you want. You see, this is the promise that God had said to Judah. If you just serve him, if you don't fight against the Babylonians, I'll look after you. Jeremiah was the example. The church of Philadelphia is the example, but there will be churches that will go into the tribulation period. The church of Laodicea will go into the tribulation period. And so really, sometimes we say, will the church go through the great tribulation? Well, the body of Christ won't, but the church will. The church that's left, that will. Jeremiah, now while he was not yet gone back, he said, go back also to Gedaliah, the son of Ahiakim, the son of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon has made governor over the cities of Judah, and dwell with him among the people, or go wherever it seems convenient unto you, go. So the captain of the guard gave him victuals, a reward, and let him go. Now that sounds like pretty tough, doesn't it? Then went Jeremiah unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahiakim, to Mizpah, and dwelt with him among the people that were left in the land. Now Jeremiah could have gone, I've had a guts full of being a prophet. I've had enough of talking to these people and they're not listening. But he's not a hireling, John chapter 10. Jeremiah has a true shepherd's heart. This was the reason God chose Moses. When God said, I hear they're just playing up down there, Moses. I'm going to take them out and from you I'll raise up a nation. And Moses said, no, Lord. blot me out, but save them. Paul said the same thing, Romans chapter 11. See, there's something that we want to look at in every servant that serves here at Calvary Chapel Secret Harbor. We don't want hirelings. Churches are full of hirelings. What we want is people who serve in the Sunday school room, who serve there because they love the children and they pray for them. They prepare Saturday night. They don't just do it like 5 minutes before they do, oh, it's Sunday school up time, and do that. We want people that look after the youth group. Not with exceptional talent, but we want them to have a heart for the children. A heart for the youth. We want people that serve in this fellowship because they love the people. That's it. God has placed a burden for them on their hearts, and this is the joy that they have as in serving. And Jeremiah said, no, I'm going to stay. I'm going to stay in this place that's desolate. It's been bashed and brutalized. It's been through famine and pestilence. I'm staying with them. I think that's amazing. So Jeremiah had this great choice, but he had a shepherd's heart. So Nebuchadnezzar has this man Gedaliah over the people. And Gedaliah, the governor, says to the children of Israel in verse 9, Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, those who are in Judah still, swear unto them and to their men, saying, fear not to serve the Chaldeans. Dwell in the land, serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. Whose words are he repeating? He's repeating what Jeremiah has been saying for 40 years. This is all you have to do. You know, sometimes I think God, it's like parents. You got a jumper? Have you got shoes? Don't forget, seatbelt on. And why do we say it? How many times do you think you repeat yourself to your children about something? Over and over and over and over. Why is that? Because you love them. You know, that's the thing I love about Calvary Chapel, is that if we teach through the Bible, and that's the beauty that brought me to expository teaching, and I can't handle just topical here, there, and everywhere, week after week. It's good for a change or a period, but I like going through the meat of the Word, because I found out as a new believer, as I read through the Bible, as I heard the Bible taught, that God repeats over and over and over, He loves me. He's gracious. He's long-suffering. He's merciful. He's forgiving. He's kind. And I find that the part, because before I was a Christian, when I went to church, what I thought we had to do was we had to do all the, so the Bible's full of commandments, loaded with commandments about this is what I have to do to be in touch with God. Do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. And that's what the world thinks. The thief on the cross didn't do anything. He was nailed. Couldn't move. Couldn't go and, I want to be a missionary. Cut me down. Couldn't do anything. It's by grace. Through faith. He was saved. Lord. His heart turned to the Lord. And that's the message of the Bible. That's the message you and I have got to get out. We see it here again. God speaking through a pagan, saying, just do what God has told you to do, and everything will be well. As for me, behold, I will dwell at Mizpah. I will dwell at Mizpah to serve the Chaldeans, which will come unto us. But you gather your wine, summer fruits, oil, put them in your vessels, dwell in the cities you've like taken. Likewise, when all the Jews that were in Moab and among the Ammonites and Edomites that were in the country heard that the king of Babylon had left this guy Gedaliah, I'm going to scoot through really quickly there, they went, now's our chance. So in chapter 40, Gedaliah 40 and to 41, Gedaliah, the appointed governor, told those remaining in Judah exactly what Jeremiah had been telling them. Serve the Babylonians, you'll live safely in the land. But in chapter 41, Gedaliah is killed. He's tried to be warned. One of the guys tried to warn him, Johanan. This guy, Ishmael, turns up with a bunch of guys, fakes a good meal, kills Gedaliah. Trouble comes up. And despite Jeremiah, Gedaliah's assurance of God's protection to those remaining in Judah, the various selfish political factions conspire to knock off Gedaliah, who was looking after the people of Judah and had him killed. Now there's a real problem. The Babylonians are going to come back. They've killed the governor. So caught between staying in Judah, where Babylon would now surely send troops to retaliate or flee to Egypt, where God warned them not to go. So the people came to Jeremiah and asked him to seek God for them. What should they do? Let's look at chapter 42. So they've killed the governor. Ishmael has taken off. Johanan has gathered a few other people. And just before we go back to chapter 41, and I'm skimming, but because we want to get through this. Verse 17. So the guy's been killed, and the people are still living their own way. And they depart and dwelt in the land of Chimham, which is by Bethlehem. And it says, to go to enter into Egypt. Egypt is always symbolic of the flesh. It's always a type of the flesh. And so here they haven't learned their lesson. They've taken matters into their own hands. They said, well, things are going to go bad. God had said, no matter what, stay in Judah. Serve the Babylonians. I promise to look after you. You see, what we do is we say, but God, you don't know the situation. My situation's different. This is really bad. God, it's all right for you, but I'm in a fix right now. And I know this is what I need to do. And so they had already planned and prepared spiritually and in their heads, we're going to Egypt. This will save us. Notice this. But they want to cover themselves. And all the captains of the forces of Johanan, the son of Kareah, Jezaniah, the son of Hoshea, and all the people from the least, even unto the greatest, came near, chapter 42, said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord. Notice they go, thy God. Jeremiah, pray to your God. Even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us. And the Lord, thy God, may show us the way wherein we may walk and do the thing that we may do. We don't know what to do. Ah, yes. Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, notice what he says, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord, your God. Notice that. According to your words, and it shall come to pass, then whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I'll declare it to you. I'll keep nothing back. You're going to get it straight, Jeremiah says. Whether it be good or whether it be evil, they said, verse 6, we'll do it. Oh, no problem. You just, whatever the Lord says, we're going to do that. How many times do you hear that in the Bible? Whatever God says, oh, I'm going to do it. Yep, no probs. Now, verse 7. And it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. 10 days! You think they'll... knocking on the door every time. Why the delay? The request to Jeremiah from the people sounded sincere and even spiritual. There was deception in the hearts of those seeking. I'm going to end on this. They had their minds already made up to go to Egypt. They were hoping Jeremiah would agree with them. Sometimes God's people take this false approach in discerning God's will, or fake approach. Instead of asking honestly, and this is the only way you can ask God's will, that whatever he says does go, and really seeking God's will, they go from counselor to counselor. See it all the time. We'll go from pastor to pastor, someone in church. We go from church person to church person until you say, yeah, I think it's all right for you to do it. Exactly. I believe God's saying that too. They go until they get someone to agree with what they've already planned to do. They go thinking that they're asking for advice, hoping they'll find somebody who will agree with their hidden agenda. God's answer. So he calls Johanan, the son of Kareth, and all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least and to the greatest, and said unto them, thus says the Lord, your God of Israel, unto whom you sent me to present your application, supplication, if you will still abide in this land, in other words, if you will still do what God says, he'll look after you. It's pretty clear. Pretty black and white. Then I will build you and not pull you down. I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil that I've done unto you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Be not afraid of him, says the Lord, for I am with you to save you and deliver you from this hand. And I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. But if you say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of trumpet, nor have hunger or bread, and there we will dwell. All sounds good. Oh, yeah, but I think I've got it right. And now, therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you remnant of Judah, says the Lord, God of hosts of Israel. If you wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt and go to sojourn, that it will come to pass that the sword and that which you feared shall overtake you, famine, things that you're afraid, every one of you will be wiped out. I won't, because of time, I'll wrap it. And Jeremiah then gets into him. He says, you didn't really want to know. You had already planned it. The Lord kept the people waiting for 10 days. Why is God so long in answering our prayers sometimes? Was it a delay to give them time to search their hearts and confess their sins? You know, God, I know. I think I know what I should do. You know what? I think 99.9% of the time, we know what we should do, but we're wanting God to go, okay. It's all right. During those 10 days, they could have seen that the Lord was caring for them. They were getting fed. They were protected. They had nothing to fear. That should have convinced them that their plan to flee to Egypt was a foolish one. But God, through Jeremiah, exposed the hearts of the people. They had tried to deceive him. They really didn't want his prayers or God's plans. They wanted the Lord to approve what they had already decided to do. And I, as a pastor, crumble when people come and ask for prayer, and already you go, well, why bother? You've chosen this path. You want me to approve it? I can't do that. You've chosen to have this relationship. It can't work. You can't go, you know, oh God, I've done this, bless this. And God's going, that's not what I want. We see that all too often. So how do we wrap this? When we come before the Lord, no matter, and they say, well, they've killed this guy. We didn't kill him, they've killed him. We got to run for our lives. No, don't take it into your own hands. Look at your life when you've taken it into your own hands. How good were you? Pretty good. Was it really good before you found Christ? Like, I had everything down. Or was it a mess? When you take it in your own hands, it will become a mess. But when you come to the Lord, it's got to be whatever you say, no matter what I think, feel, or sense. The word of God says this, I'll obey it. That's what 2019's got to be. Father, I thank you for the people gathered here tonight. Now, as we pray, we don't want to pray our will. We want to pray according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's say hi to one another. Come out and grab a card. Go and take your seat. This is how it's going to happen.